You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. If you are an investor in the equities space, you would find great value in trying to invest in high-performing companies or companies that might you think might be performing in some interesting sectors. And for whatever reason, you might want to even invest in small-cap companies. There's a lot of hidden values there, hidden gems, so-called. And therefore, you need the kind of research notes and research reports that might help you in making your investment decisions. In this note, RHB Investment Bank publishes the top 20 jewels 2021 edition that lists down the top 20 small cap companies that they think would be interesting for investors to think about when they want to enter this space. Some of the names you have probably heard, many others that you might not have heard before. And in this report, if you can benchmark it from the previous years, reports of the top 20 jewels of 2020, 2019, 2018, and so on, you might see that they have a trend on picking the companies that have outperformed the benchmark consistently over the past few years. So because of that, I am pleased to invite my guest for today, Lee Meng Hong, the head of small cap research at RHB Investment Bank. We're going to be talking about some of the companies that is listed in the report per se, but at the same time, we're going to be talking about the industry at large and the market conditions that exist within it. Welcome to the show, Meng Hong. Let's start with the first question. Tell us about the 2021 edition of the top 20 RHB jewels.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Brian Sunny. Thanks for featuring us this year again. Well, if you look at the book, we have been doing this for the past 17 years. And, we select 20 small cap companies going into the book each year. And for this year, I think, it's the same, when it comes to the qualitative analysis. We will first shortlist those companies that scores above industry average in terms of financial matrices, such as the one that the investor would have been quite familiar, like PB, PE, ROE, quarterly growth, as well as margins. But then the respective analysts will then go through the financial results review, industry analysis, as well as the financial modeling and also the corporate development. A meeting with the management is actually a must, for the names to be considered to be put into the book. We also emphasize a lot of qualitative analysis, such as the governance screening, as well as channel checks and management track records. I think the selection for this year, we have a mixture of companies generating stable income, offering earnings visibility, in addition to the turnaround stories, as well as a thematic play such as the commodity upsurge.
When you list down, or when RHB lists down the classification of companies by industry, what caught my attention is that for healthcare, there's only one company in that sector. Before we jump to that particular company, I just want to understand why not more healthcare companies. I would assume, and this is just based on my assumption, that because of a pandemic, because of vaccine rollouts, because of people's heightened awareness of the need to keep healthy, wouldn't healthcare be featured a lot more compared to what is being listed in this year's document?
True enough, Ibrahim. There isn't a lot of healthcare company per se that is available in the Bursa Malaysia. And for our selections, it goes into the book. We also emphasize on novelty idea, which means that we do not include those companies that within our current active coverage. As you can see, out of 20 names that we publish in the book for Malaysia, they are all not within our coverage, which means they are, in other words, it's new. It's a non-coverage stocks. So that itself actually limits, in terms of the scopes of the number of companies that we can, select, out of this sector itself. There are a couple of companies, that could potentially benefit from the pandemic, but we also assess them, from, the other angles, like I mentioned earlier. Do they, have the earnings visibility first and also the track record of the company? I hope that helps to clarify.
No, of course. It helps a lot. So let's talk a little bit about that one company within this industry. What makes this company exciting to be considered?
Well, you know, the key is that, you know, they are involved in the vaccine, you know, rolled out, and you know, they have secured, you know, the contract of it, and I think government has started to order a couple of million, I think 3.5 million of doses, you know, from them. That itself will help to, you know, provide some earnings visibilities at least for this year. And other than that, they also embark on a couple of diversifications where, you know, they also work on in other, you know, business segments to propel the growth in the midterm. I think that is, the name is actually quite new, you know, to some of the investors, especially for the institutional as well. So that helps in terms of consideration that goes into the book.
Of course, we're talking about Solution Group, and in the document was mentioning that it has an average turnover of about 23.6 million ringgit. It is not a young company. It's been around since the 80s, 1988. The diversification of this company is also quite interesting. It was mentioned in your document that it is involved in solar industries, involving in EPCC, for instance, or engineering procurement. They are also diversifying in some of the other product lines, including that of storage facilities, fabrications. So it seems like it's not just healthcare, it's pretty diverse. Do you feel that these kind of companies where they have a little bit more diversity in terms of their offering on top of their core offering, this might be the way forward for small caps to attract new investors?
It's not one size fits all, you know, Ibrahim, you know, to our preference. What we are trying to see here is that, you know, when the company goes, you know, outside of the core business to diversify into, say, you know, the current uptrending, you know, businesses such as you know, Solution Group, we find that these, they are the opportunities, you know, in this kind of market where small and mid-cap companies, they tend to be more agile and they're nimble enough to capitalize on these opportunities. Whereas as opposed to your, you know, traditional or big caps company, they will be, you know, harder for them to actually, you know, capitalize on this kind of arising opportunities. Yes and no, you know, to your questions. Yes, we often look out, you know, for companies that goes into, you know, such businesses. But we also need to look at whether are they going to be sustainable and are these businesses are going to be the focus moving forward, or they are just going in and out, you know, and reap the profit for 1 or 2 years, which we are not favoring those.
All right. And from one company in one industry, we move on to many companies in one industry, in the industrial products and services. ES Ceramic Technology, Hyaptech Venture, HPP Holdings, JAG, Pentec, Perak Transit, two or three of those names I'm familiar with. There are a few others that I'm not familiar with. What would be some of the flavor that can be garnered from companies operating inside the industrial products and services?
I think, you know, for some of the names that you mentioned, you know, they are, we categorize, you know, them under, you know, the different, you know, play, you know, where ES Ceramic is also another potential beneficiary from the upsurge in the gloves, where we see, you know, the demand for gloves as well as the setup of glove factories, you know, around this part of the world is still quite robust, and that should, you know, bode well with the demand for their products. Whereas the others, like, you know, commodity plays, so people like, you know, the Steels as well as Jack, is the team that we are trying to capture is the upsurge of, you know, the steel price, as well as aluminium and your copper prices. So it's a different thematic play, you know, all along. And if you mention about, you know, Perak Transit, then you will be more on the earning visibility, you know, given their contract that they have in operating those terminals. So it's a mixture. So when we try to produce, you know, this product and book, we do not limit ourselves into one particular industry. Whereas we try to identify, you know, a different thematic that's going to, you know, fit well or, you know, is in trend to help, you know, our investors to make informed decisions.
Right. Keeping up with the various thematic advantages that an investor can look at, One industry that I'm particularly familiar with is, of course, the media industry, particularly when we talk about companies like Astro, for instance, is converging into digitalization. And one can be said that companies in the media industry might not be small cap, but I find that interesting that you place, as in RHB, places Star Media Group as a small cap and is included in Jewel 20. Could you explain the thought process putting behind why Star Media Group is featured in this booklet?
Yeah, that is something of a different as well. It's sort of a value play and a potentially turnaround story. So if you look at in terms of cash, net cash per share for the company, it's actually above what they are trading at in terms of market cap. And we are looking at potentially turnaround, say in the second half or early next year. Then we are looking at a company that successfully turning around and going to black, backed by a very healthy balance sheet and cash positions. That was the thought process.
All right. We'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with RHB Investment. Welcome back. I have with me Lee Meng Hong, Head of Small Cap Research at RHB Investment Bank. Meng Hong, let's talk a little bit more about the technology sector. It has been garnering a lot of interest, not least because of the importance of it during a pandemic, but because of what promise it lies ahead of this post-pandemic world that we are, well, sooner or later going to embrace. Emulous Holdings was there for quite some time. I remember even interviewing the CEO during its IPO back at BFM Radio, 7 years ago, 6 years ago. And it seems to have a lot of promise. However, the growth of Emulous Holdings has not been one of notable story to be told in recent years. And the same goes with End-to-End Connect. Again, there's some promise there. I mean, I literally use End-to-End Connect every now and then because of the trading platforms that I'm on. KESM Holdings as well, or Industries. So some of these companies within the tech sector have a lot of promise, but realizing those promise have always been a tougher challenge to meet. What would be some of the ideas that you can share with us when it comes to investors, investing in small cap tech stocks, and the kind of promises that lie ahead within this industry?
Well, you are right. You correctly pointed out, some of them, could have, disappointed before. But what we are seeing is the potentially, a high growth period for this, company, especially, for Emulous. We have been tracking them, for over 2 years. And if you look at their financial results, it has also been forthcoming, in terms of the revenue as well as in terms of profit. We are seeing them, scaling back, back to the high. Back in the days of 2016, 2015, kind of range. A couple of things have changed since then. I think the management has taken a different strategy altogether. And also, they have been very actively diversified into China. And they are going into the China supply chain by setting up a JV over there. I think this, itself, the strategy helps in terms of the potential growth that we can see in the next few years, where China is going big in establishing their own semicon ecosystems. That itself is the angle for the company, and you are seeing the numbers are coming in right here right now. And the other two, I guess, on KSM Industries, they are more of a testing, service contract manufacturer. You are seeing the overall robustness of the OSATs, what we call guys like, Inari, your Globetronics, MPI, Unisense, and also, KSM. I will lump them, together in this group. And we are seeing actually robustness of orders, for all of them. And that should trickle down, to KSM as a independent burning test contract manufacturer. That also, they are being helped by the recovery in the automotive segment. automotive has been one of the hard hit in our sector back in when pandemic was first started. But if you were to look at over the past 3 to 6 months, it has recovered fairly well. And people are talking about shortages of chips rather than, you know, the slow demand, you know, of from the consumer side. So all the manufacturers are buying the capacity, are booking the capacity ahead in anticipation of the recovery in all the demands. So that will be, you know, the boon, you know, for them.
Okay. Moving ahead, oil and gas, you're featuring two companies there, Karimin Petroleum as well as Uzma. But there's also this other question that I want to ask you. Why companies in oil and gas, why not you know, companies that are dabbling into renewable resources, even solar or wind? Is there no company in Malaysia that is focusing on renewables tech, particularly in the small cap sector?
Thank you, Ibrahim, for pointing that out. Actually, we had two, you know, renewable companies or sort of EPCC players back in our Jewels 2020 editions, which is last year. We had, you know, players like K-Power as well as SolarVest, and they had done, you know, fairly well over the past year. So when it comes to, you know, this year's considerations, we look at the valuations, so we look at, you know, the potentials as well as the growth prospects that we can anticipate in the next 1 or 2 years. We find that, you know, the thesis or the reasons, or, you know, it's not as high conviction as of last year's when the valuation were, you know, lower back then. So that would be the key one. So I hope that helps to, you know, address your question.
Yeah, it does. Actually, because my follow-up question is this. Do you think that investors would gain a lot more if they read past year's Jewel 20, and on top of reading this year's Jewel 20, it gives them a good idea or a good flavor of how things have been going, perhaps create the kind of debate about the trends that you guys have picked up in the previous years and how it stacks up against reality of 2021, and then they can perhaps make an informed decision on how to select companies from this year's edition moving forward. Reading all of this in tandem, do you think that that has value for investors?
Sure, Brian. Thanks for pointing that out as well. Just to note, we have been producing, you know, this small cap in a book for 17 consecutive years in Malaysia. And the emphasis of, you know, small cap research over the years has actually produced countless multi-bagger stocks ideas that have actually benefited the investment and the community as a whole. The selections for 2020, if you were to follow our book, we achieved a, you know, holding period return of 101% over the past 1 year. If you were to compare with the, you know, comparing benchmark indexes such as FBM 70, or FBM small cap, which has generated about 30% and 49% of return over the same period of time. And our hit rate for, you know, 2020 edition was actually 90%. Well, partially thanks to, you know, the strong run up for the two indexes, but it's also, you know, down to the meticulous stock picking skills, as well as the research, you know, all the countless, you know, hours behind the research works.
I think that's a very good response. And I want to ask you a very frank question here. Not that our previous questions were not frank, but here's a frank question. Do you feel that there were hits and misses in your report or in RHB Investments report for the past years? Do you think that you got some of the ideas correct while some others were not correct?
Well, Ibrahim, you know, it's inevitable. You know, we make mistakes. We, you know, when it comes to our analysis, some of the assumptions that we may not, you know, turn out to be the reality. So we can't be, you know, correct all the time. But if you were to look at us, you know, compared to the benchmark, we have been outperforming the benchmark for the past few years. That is, you know, comforting to say. And we have been, you know, maintaining the kind of quality of research works, you know, over the years, and you, as you can see, in terms of the ideas that we're trying to produce year over year, there have been, you know, hit and miss, you know, here and there. But you know, we have been doing quite well over the past few years, I would say. We have outperformed, you know, the benchmarking indexes. Our hit rate, you know, is well above 50%, you know, all the time. And of course, we produce this kind of book, 20 names from Malaysia, from Indonesia, from you know, Thailand and Singapore. It's actually unmatched in ASEAN region. That is something that we can be proud of.
Yeah, that's right. And it's also important for investors to understand that buyers beware. Not everything can go up. This is the stock market. You are here for investing. You're not here for gambling. A lot of people misconstrue the two ideas together. Based on Bursa's financial report, as in Bursa Malaysia, the company itself, last year was very promising, and this has led to a lot of investigations or study into why it was as such. And the primary reason is because retail investors are reinvigorating the market. A lot of retail investors are either entering the market for the first time. Many of them are coming back. I'm one of them. I just let myself go wild last year. A little bit more interesting developments because I quite literally have a lot more time at home, I suppose. So now the question is, what's the trend like? Do you think that retail investors are going to see an uptrend for this year compared to last year? Do you feel that CDS account openings are going to increase? Do you feel that the volume of shares being traded amongst retail investors is going to rise, at least for this year?
Whether or not it's going to rise further, that remains unknown. But what we are seeing or what we observe so far, the trend seems like continuing into 2021. If you look at year-to-date in a retail participation, right, it has been actually quite stable at about 38%. If you look at the statistics shared by the Bursa Malaysia, if you were to compare, with pre-pandemic level, it was at about 24%. So the 38%, with the inflow of all this retail participation, actually they have more than offset the foreign net outflow that we are seeing. The foreign ownership at actually at a record low of 20%. If you were to drill down further into the turnover, which we track using traded value, especially for the FBM small caps, it's actually up 150% year to date, as compared to FBM KLCI of 25% and FBM 70 of 11%. Of course, all of this thanks to the greater market volatility. The strong retail participation is also supported, by the low interest rate environment in our view, and also the enhanced investors outreach, efforts by the brokers, as well as a lot of online media. And you correctly pointed out, the CDS account opening has been a very robust, or the backlog is still there. And we are seeing actually the younger age of profile constitutes most of the accounts, CDS accounts openings, around 24 years old to 40 years old, actually consists more than half of the account opening. So all of this actually supported our thesis that the retail participation will continue to stay elevated. So the short answer to your question is actually yes.
Right. Let's focus a little bit more on the market risk that exists. And perhaps even governmental risk. Do you feel that these kind of risk is increasing or on the increasing trend, or a lot of them have been mitigated and therefore we're looking at a more stable level of risks that lie ahead for investors to participate in?
When it comes to investment, it's always, comes with risk, as, everyone says, the higher the risk, the greater returns. So when we assess risk, we try to look at a risk to reward, per se. So that is something, the investors could, use this, when it comes to their investment decisions. So in terms of the market risk that we are seeing, of course, pandemic situation is one of the key risks that we continue to observe. As you could see, the uneven vaccination program, as well as the stubbornly high cases that we are seeing around the world, will continue to weigh into investment decisions as the sentiments towards cyclical recovery stocks will continue to be underwhelmed as far as we're concerned, where the cases as well as the vaccination program are not fully rolled out where the community achieve herd immunity. So that would, continue to be the worry for now. Secondly, I think domestically we are seeing the political risk could be another watchful issue as we inch closer to the end of Darurat, in August. Globally speaking, inflation, as well as the expectations of the Fed tapering the bond buying program, along with the timing of interest rate hike, will continue to be key issues as this will potentially affect the market liquidity as well as the valuation, especially for the high growth stocks.
Because of interest rates, at least domestically, is low and might even be cut by some quarters. Some of your colleagues in your industry is arguing that it might even be further cut in the upcoming or in the future MPC meetings. Do you think that now is the time to invest?
If you look at the protracted interest rate environment and the tone of our Bank Negara, our house view is actually no cut for this year. But if you were to just look at from return perspective, this kind of low interest environment would be better off for you to actually put into FD for instance, as compared to say a dividend yielding stocks or growth stocks in the stock markets. So our take is that in this kind of environment, stock markets will still be one of the preference when people chase for returns.
Right. Thank you very much. That was Lee Meng Hong, head of small cap research at RHB Investment Bank. We're talking a lot about the RHB small cap top 20 jewels. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for a notepad over there. And if you want to get your hands on the booklet, I guess be a customer of retail equities of RHB. Thanks, Meng Hong.
Thank you, Ibrahim.